when I came there, we discovered that it was beyond my imaginations. I nearly got fainted and begin to weep, because everything we have put in, all the labor from quite a long time, all just in a moment disappear.
Those were the words of Pastor Christian Lekubupandi, decrying the devastation caused by two major oil spills in Bodo, a town in Ogoniland in the Niger Delta. These spills occurred in August and December 2008, disrupting the lives of roughly 69,000 people.
The spills continued for approximately 72 days and 77 days respectively, until they were finally stopped. Shell reported that a total of 1,640 barrels of oil in total were spilled. However, independent sources hold that as many as 4,000 barrels of oil a day leaked into the environment in the first spill alone. Shell admitted responsibility for both spills, stating that they were caused by equipment failure.
The Niger Delta is almost as well known for its oil spills and resulting environmental degradation as its petroleum resources. Shell Petroleum Development Company of Nigeria, a subsidiary of Royal Dutch Shell, a part of a joint venture partnership to exploit oil resources in the Niger Delta. This venture includes the state-owned Nigerian National Petroleum Corporation, which holds 55% of the venture, Elf Petroleum Nigeria Limited, a subsidiary of the French company Total, which holds 10%, and Agip, a subsidiary of Italian company Eni, holds 5%. Shell owns 30% of the joint venture, and as the operator, it is responsible for the day-to-day activities on the ground.
3 years after the oil spills occurred near Bodo, the prolonged failure of Shell to clean up the oil continues to have catastrophic consequences for the Bodo community. Amnesty International has recounted the cost to the people of Bodo in its report titled The True Tragedy, which was released in November 2011.
This report looks at two oil spills that have occurred in a place called Bodo in Ogoniland, and both oil spills are the responsibility of Shell, and Shell has accepted that the oil spills are a result of equipment failure, of Shell's equipment failure. So the report focuses not just on the spills themselves, which occurred in 2008, but the major problem that's more widespread in the Delta, which is the failure of oil companies to properly clean up oil spills.
In the immediate aftermath of the oil spills, the communities affected suffered a food shortage due to contamination of their local food supply by crude oil. However, they received very little aid, and it was not until May, over 8 months after the initial spill, that Shell provided food. The community rejected this as being insufficient. The long-term effects of the spills raise grave concerns. Those who used to rely on fishing for a living have lost their incomes and their livelihoods. In the words of Pastor Christian Lekubupandi,
my means of income is no longer there. So the living will become hard. To feed is different, very difficult. To take care of the children, I lost the entire community, and the workers who were working here too, all of them are redundant. And because they can't go to fish. Now, as you see, all the whole place where there were fish, no fish, all the ecosystem, all is dead.
In addition to harming fisheries, farmers state that their harvests are smaller than before owing to oil contamination. This finding was supported by the recent UNEP environmental assessment in regards to Ogoniland, which was released in August 2011. It found that any crops in areas directly impacted by spills will be damaged, and root crops, such as cassava, will become unusable. When farming recommences, plants generally show signs of stress, and yields are reported lower than in non-impacted areas.
With livelihoods destroyed and food prices rising, many can't afford to buy nutritious food. As employment is generally unavailable in the region, those affected have to travel great distances in order to find work to provide for their families. The concurrent destruction of livelihood and lack of accountability fuels frustration and increases the potential for conflict.
As Audrey Gograin from Amnesty International Global Issues explains,
people can't fish, they can't earn a living. People have told us that their children are out of school because they can't afford to pay the fees or the associated costs. Food prices have risen locally because fish has to be brought in from other areas. People are very worried about their health. So it's a devastating environmental impact that's had a knock-on impact on a range of human rights.
There has been limited analysis of the health risks associated with living in close contact with crude oil. The first solid data on the health impacts of oil pollution in Ogoniland came from the recent UNEP study, which noted, petroleum hydrocarbons can enter people's bodies when they breathe air, bathe, eat fish, drink water, or accidentally eat or touch soil or sediment that is contaminated with oil. Although the long-term health effects of crude exposure are not yet well understood, they could include cancer and neurotoxicity.
The pollution has also affected the community's drinking water. Before the spill, many people drew their water from the creek and from other waterways, from dugout wells or by collecting rainwater. However, a local fisherman described how this has now changed. He said, "When the rain falls down, people used to collect it for drinking water. Today, even the rainwater is contaminated. It looks black. You cannot drink the rain."
According to the UNEP report, hydrocarbon contamination had been found at several wells at various contaminated sites around Ogoniland. The samples found hydrocarbon contamination at a level 1,000 times higher than the average. UNEP also hypothesized that oil had likely seeped below the surface layers of soil and contaminated the groundwater in some areas of Ogoniland. This would have been caused in part by the remediation method used by Shell. The company worked on the unchecked assumption that oil did not penetrate the soil deeply.
Despite these rights violations, the Nigerian government has taken little to no action. In the African Commission investigation and later decision on Ogoniland in 2001, it was found that, contrary to the African Charter on Human and People's Rights and Obligations, and despite such internationally established principles, the Nigerian government has given the green light to private actors, and the oil companies in particular, to devastatingly affect the well-being of the Ogonis. Nevertheless, this call to the Nigerian government to ensure cleanup and compensation for the victims was never implemented. Investigations of the oil spills themselves are fraught with difficulty. Typically, investigations in Nigeria are not independent, despite the fact that oil spills are endemic to the Niger Delta region, whether they are caused by sabotage or poor equipment maintenance. In the investigation process, it is the oil company that frequently takes the lead, rather than the government regulators. The affected communities are not always properly or formally engaged. While regulations do impose financial penalties on oil corporations for the spills, these penalties are generally considered too low to represent meaningful sanction or deterrent.
There are two governmental bodies in Nigeria that have a theoretical role in overseeing the oil industry and addressing oil spills and cleanups. These are the Department of Petroleum Regulation, DPR, which falls under the Federal Ministry of Petroleum Resources, and the National Oil Spill Detection and Response Agency, NOISTRA, which falls under the Federal Ministry of Environment. The DPR is in a serious conflict of interest because it's responsible for promoting the oil and gas sector, which represents 97% of Nigeria's foreign exchange revenues and contributes 79.5% of government revenues. NOISTRA is chronically under-resourced. Ladu Mati, with the Movement for the Survival of the Ogoni People, tells an Al Jazeera reporter in reaction to the release of the UNEP report,
"I feel this is quite outrageous. I think it is inhuman, and I am completely disappointed even by the reaction of the Nigerian government to say we are going to study the report and come out with something when they are saying people are dying by the day."
The unwillingness of the Nigerian government to act allows the rights of the people of the Niger Delta to continue to be violated without access to an effective remedy.
To date, no compensation has been paid to the communities affected by the oil spills in Bodo. It is worth noting that under Nigerian regulations, compensation is limited. For example, compensation is not required for damage to moving water bodies or damage to health.
In April 2011, the Bodo community, after years of waiting for cleanup and to be compensated, finally took their claim for damages to a UK court. In August 2011, Shell formally accepted liability for the spills and conceded to the UK's jurisdiction. Shell indicated that it would clean up the spill and stated that, and I quote, "Oil spills in the Niger Delta are a tragedy, and Shell Petroleum Development Company of Nigeria takes them very seriously. That is why we have always accepted responsibility for paying compensation when they occur as a result of operational failure." However, this statement does not in any way explain why compensation has not been paid already.
Femi Falana, a Nigerian human rights lawyer, tells AFP,
"A lot of lawsuits are going to come up, particularly outside the country, because the legal system is rather slow, and Shell and other oil companies have taken advantage of a weak legal system to get away with a lot of atrocities.
In July, September, and October 2011, Amnesty International asked Shell for a response to the issues raised in this report. Shell stated that since the Bodo spills were the subject of legal proceedings, the company was unable to respond to the allegations and questions raised by this report as directly as it would like to.
Nevertheless, in a letter dated October 24, 2011, Shell indicated that the resolution of the 2008 Bodo spills had been hampered by sabotage and bunkering activity in the area. Other oil spills occurring in the area, however, cannot excuse Shell's failure to clean up the two 2008 spills. Further, as the spills have not been cleaned up for 3 years, any subsequent pollution cannot now be clearly identified and should be cleaned up by Shell.
Shell says in a statement, Shell is committed to clearing up oil spills regardless of their cause, but the security situation is such that it is very difficult to address the problems of Bodo. Amnesty International rejects this reasoning.
Knowing that Nigeria is in bed with Shell, that they are one, we just have to go to the father of Shell. We just have to go to the homeland of Shell.
Says a Nigerian environmental rights activist, Morris Alagola. In addition to recommendations made to the Nigerian government and the home governments of Shell, Amnesty International is seeking that Royal Dutch Shell firstly, make a clear and public commitment to contribute $1 billion as an initial payment to an independent cleanup fund for pollution in Ogoniland, as well as
carry out a comprehensive cleanup of all oil pollution and environmental damage in Bodo, in consultation with the community.
And ensure that all people affected by the 2008 Bodo spills are provided with a remedy. This should include rehabilitation, satisfaction, and guarantees of non-repetition, as well as adequate compensation that takes into account long-term impacts, health issues, and other reasonable damages.
Amnesty also called on Shell's investors to raise and challenge Shell on the multiple failures documented in its True Tragedy report, and also those raised in the August 2011 UNEP report.
In 2011, Amnesty Canada took several different actions directed towards the goals of having Shell face its responsibility to the people of the Niger Delta. These included a postcard and petition action that was directed to the President of Nigeria, Mr. Goodluck Jonathan. An Amnesty Social Media Action Center also timed releases of these messages to the President. The Globe and Mail featured a story, This Day in History, on November 10th about the Nigerian activist Kensar Owiwa. A webinar information session was held with postcard action as well. Various information sessions were held at both Amnesty Canada's annual general meeting and regional meetings. The Amnesty Canada publication, Lifesaver, featured a letter-writing action for youth with messages to the Nigerian embassy. And lastly, Right for Rights letter-writing action with messages to both the President of Nigeria and Shell Oil took place.
This year, we're looking for participants in Amnesty Canada's actions to hold Shell to account. You can help to poster or hand out leaflets in neighborhoods around Shell stations. You can provide information to Canadians who choose to use Shell stations, asking them to help us too. We're not calling for a boycott. Instead, we want people who use Shell to be part of the solution. You can get a group of people and hold a cleanup Shell event at a Shell oil station. You can also sign a global petition to the president of Shell, which should be online by February 2012.
Amnesty would like to see Shell live up to its responsibilities and by its 2012 AGM make a clear and public commitment to contribute $1 billion as an initial payment to an independent cleanup fund for pollution in Ogoniland. Amnesty would like to see you help make this happen. For more information, please go to www.amnesty.ca/business.
Help us make Shell own up, clean up, and pay up.
I am appealing to the federal government of Nigeria and Shell International to have sympathy to the people of this very place, to come and do this cleanup, to come and pay compensation so that our children can be able to go up, to come back to life again.